Welcome back, folks, to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. On today's show, we have the Queen of Flickr, Naomi Miller. Man, what a great guest she was, man, talking about Flickr, the issues with Flickr, the metrics with Flickr. Greg, what did you think of Naomi?
Yeah, I thought it was great. Anytime you have some of the science background, it always makes for an interesting conversation. And Flickr is a major issue, as we've talked about. And I even have done a couple of my own filming, slow motion filming, and you can see it in Type B tubes. Not the ones that I'm installing, but other ones. I've been seeing it for sure.
Yeah, so, it's pretty crazy out there how much the Flickr issue is affecting the high end, the people at the top of the lighting business going, what's going on with this Flickr thing? So we brought the Queen of Flickr on. Thank you, Naomi Miller, for coming on the show. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by Keystone Technologies. Go to KeystoneTech.com, GregEKeystoneTech.com. What are you throwing up there for the YouTube watchers, Greg?
So they have their troffer fixture retrofit kit. They do it in a 2x2 and a 2x4 where it's a door frame kit. You got the fixture, take the ballast out, take the lamps out, and put this in, and now you've got a flicker-free LED retrofit kit. So it makes it a nice look for an office. It modernizes it without buying a new fixture and replacing it and scrapping all the metal with you.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's interesting that Keystone's come out with another great product. You know, that's a real arrow in the quiver of a lighting guy. And, of course, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Go to NAILD.org. We love Nailed. We're a part of Nailed. Nailed is the best convention in lighting for sure. We just got back from another one. Greg, why are Nailed conventions so good?
It's because the people are exactly like us. We have great discussions on our, like what we're talking about on our podcast. How many of those did we recorded 10, but we probably could have recorded another 30 conversations we had
easy
in the 3 days we were there. Great easy discussions. It really helps you in your business and getting to where you need to be in lighting. It's a spot to be.
So go to NAILD.org. But for right now, check out the Queen of Flickr, Naomi Miller, on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast.
Welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, Naomi Miller.
Thank you.
It's a real pleasure to have the Queen of Flickr with us today, Her Royal Majesty.
Yes.
She's here in the flesh.
Yes, and there's someone holding my train off here.
There you go. On the corner.
On the corner, right.
So we became interested in Flickr in 2017 when I came across an article in, what was the publication that?
I don't recall.
Dr. Arnold Wilkins put it out, and he wasn't saying he knew, but he just said he suspected that Flickr was an issue with LED light sources simply because of his own history with magnetic fluorescent and some of the work he had done and the characteristics he knew from different types of drivers. Mm-hmm. And so I emailed him and he came on the show and he basically laid out the case for Flickr to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast hosts, and we both sat back and went, how many of those lamps have you sold, Greg? Oh, an awful lot, man.
Yeah.
So Flickr is an issue. How long has it been an issue? The entire time LED has been out there? Or?
Well, before I came to work at PNNL, I was a lighting designer in Troy, New York, upstate New York. And I vividly remember having reps come to my office with these brand new LED products. And of course, I'm a lighting designer, so I'm skeptical. But honest to gosh, the first ones that they turned on in my office, I vividly say to them, are you aware that it flickers and it flickers really badly? Mm. And they would say, no, what's flicker? And I started to learn at that point that I had to show them some simple techniques for waving your finger in front of the light source to see if it flickered and that sort of thing, and mentioned that flicker can be a serious problem.
I think the flicker issue was so old in lighting that people had forgotten about it.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. So those of us who grew up in the 60s and 70s grew up with magnetically ballasted fluorescent in our classrooms and our offices. So yes, a lot of people remember describing fluorescent lighting as flickery stuff and bad color. Just fluorescent got bad marks all around. Sure. That, and it was often in fixtures that were pretty glaring.
Sure.
So it got terribly bad marks, and people associated fluorescent with flicker. But of course, that was when there were magnetic ballasts. So there was considerable amount of flicker.
Sure.
And then in the late 80s, early 90s, electronic ballast came on the market for fluorescent, which effectively changed it from a flicker rate of 120 hertz up to 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 sure. hertz, and the flicker disappeared. Now, good news is everybody changed over to electronic ballast, not because it didn't flicker, but because it was so much more energy efficient.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the nice consequence was it also got rid of the flicker. So at least in this country, most of the people now hardly remember flickering fluorescent lights.
Sure, sure.
Although you can still hear people say that they think fluorescent lights flicker.
Mm.
Well, you know, they may be reacting to something other than flicker, especially since I know that the vast majority of fluorescent fixtures these days are electronic.
Now, you mentioned that you can see flicker visibly. Yep. You can see any light source if it's flickering. What percent of people do you think can? Because I don't.
Is there a name? Is there a name for that type of person? I know those people that have advanced smells. They're called. There's a name for them.
Yeah.
They can smell cancer and Parkinson's disease and stuff like that. Believe it or not. Yeah, it's wild. It's wild.
Okay.
And there's a name for their ability to smell. Do we have a name for people that can see flicker?
No, I think we should invent one.
Yeah. So it's a saccadic something like that.
It's some kind of. Light oscillation hypersensitivity. How's that?
That's good.
But I know that Arnold Wilkins is very sensitive to flicker.
Mm.
And I run into people at conferences all the time that will come up to me and say, thank you for talking about flicker because it drives me bonkers.
I was in a nightclub. And nightclub, not like a bar-y nightclub. And with my brother, this is before we did the podcast with Arnold Wilkins. And I'm in there, it was all MR16s, and I could see them, they dimmed them, and I could just see them flickering. It was so gross. I'm like, can you see these lights flickering? And my brother's like, yeah, I can see it. I can't stop seeing it now.
Yeah.
Like, once you became aware of it, you could no longer stop it anymore. It was so gross and annoying.
Yeah.
It was just like pulsing. The lights were like literally pulsing at you. It's a big problem.
Well, interestingly enough, my office once a month goes out for a Thursday evening cocktail hour, and it's basically just a socialization effort. But the person who organizes it tries to get us to new restaurants that are opening up around town so that you get to know them and try out some happy hour food and try out some cocktails. Lately, we go to these new restaurants or new bars, and they all have flickering lights.
Yes.
And of course, everybody's now used to Naomi going, oh, golly, look at that one. And of course, I travel with a flicker meter. So if someone challenges me, pull out the meter and measure it. And they go, well, yeah.
Naomi, can you chill out for once? I just want to have a beer.
But that's what they said at the beginning, like a year ago. That's what they said. Naomi, come on, we've heard that. And now everybody else in my office is starting to notice it.
Sure.
They walk into the bar and they go, wow, look at that flicker.
It's actually gross.
Well, if it's really bad, it can actually make you feel nauseous.
Yeah, no,
is it something you've always noticed your whole life that you can recall, or is it once you got into lighting and started figuring out what flicker was that you noticed it?
I really started noticing it with LEDs.
Okay.
Well, because Dr. Wilkins had said that his concern was that, so with T12s, you had like the phosphor, the mercury phosphor would not go from 0 to 100. It would go from 100 to 70.
Mm-hmm.
And say that would be the flicker, the oscillation.
Right.
It would be like a 75% or 70% back to 100, 70 back to 100.
Right.
But with LEDs, he was suggesting that you may get, in fact, a 0 to 100 flicker.
Yes. Frequently you get 100% flicker.
Like off, on, off, on, off, on.
Yes. And that's because the driver is using pulse width modulation to control the LED, which effectively means, yes, it's turning it on and off multiple times per second, usually 120 or some multiple of 120 hertz.
Sure.
And yes, it's that swing to off becomes very noticeable.
Now we sat through your meeting yesterday on the flicker metrics and how to measure it. And is it true right now that there really is not one universal measurement for flicker? We can
There are multiple measurements for flicker, and they all have their advantages and disadvantages. But really, it comes down to only two that have been widely embraced. And in my experience, only one of the two works. Now, I was a member of the IEEE P1789 committee that came up with the first standard in 2015. Arnold Wilkins was also on that committee. We did a fantastic job of coming up with the first standard. And unfortunately, it hasn't stood the test of time because it took percent flicker, which is the amount of modulation in from maximum to minimum, into account, and the frequency, flicker frequency, into account. But it did not take the duty cycle into account. So you could have an oscillating light, but if you were using PWM and the light was off 50% of the time, 120 times a second, that made the flicker so much more visible. So, and there are cases where you can have 100% flicker, and as long as the duty cycle is large, that is that it's off for a very, very tiny portion of that cycle, you won't notice it. So it's not just the percent modulation. It's more than that. So now we're looking at ways to have a flicker metric that combines all of those issues. Flicker frequency and the waveform. And the waveform includes the difference between maximum and minimum, but it also includes the duty cycle.
Do you think this is something that manufacturers are now going to look at their product and actually label it as such and say our flicker percentage? Is it going to be percentage? Is that all it would be?
Well, what I'm encouraging manufacturers to do at this point is we don't really know which metrics are going to shake out. Okay. So the best way to cover your bets is to list multiple flicker metrics. And I would recommend percent flicker, which is also called the percent modulation, the flicker frequency, flicker index, which is a metric that does take duty cycle into account, and SVM, stroboscopic visibility measure. And for low frequency flicker, either PST or MP, either one of those is, they're actually very similar metrics for low frequency flicker.
So you're saying that ideally every manufacturer is going to do that for all of their products?
Ideally, yes. And I'll tell you, if I am designing lighting for, let's say, a hospital or schools where there might be autistic kids, or places where people spend a long time, 8 hours a day, and they may be susceptible to headaches or migraines, I'm going to really want to know what the flicker metrics are. Because in looking at all of those flicker metrics, I can figure out from my own experience, having wandered with a flicker meter in my backpack for a year and a half, I can figure out whether that product is going to produce problematic flicker or not without having to see it in my office. If I don't have those metrics, I have no other option than to demand that the rep bring in a sample of the fixture with exactly the driver that is going to be installed on the job, with exactly the dimmer that's going to be installed on the job, so that I can test whether it flickers at full output, at mid-range, and at low end of output.
Now we're going to need a guide to understand this if we're going to sell it to someone or explain it to them. We're going to need to know what measurements are good.
Yes.
I assume that'll be part of the idea too.
Yes.
Is higher percent as good?
I think what makes Naomi so strong in her commitment to this issue is that you're a practitioner.
Yes. And I've also dealt with end users who need help or guidance, or, you know, they really complain.
Yeah.
So I've been in the shoes of the specifier.
When you stand in front of people that are going to have the lights and talk to them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And that's absolutely a big, that's a distinction, because there's a lot of people that don't do that, actually, but talk a lot about lighting, but don't actually engage with the end user and talk about their lighting system and have to shake hands with them and ask them for money. It's time to pay me. I'm leaving now. Where's your checkbook?
Right.
You know? You know, I think that's, that makes you, that it adds to the courage of your conviction, shall we say. I can tell by the way you speak about it, that it's important that you're, when you don't know, you're telling your customer you don't know. When you're telling them that, yes, this isn't going to flicker. This is why it's not going to flicker, because this is working with this and so on. How much has that impacted your desire to be at the forefront of this from the industry, like to be the queen of flicker?
Somehow I think I was put on this crazy planet with this crazy superpower of being able to see flicker in order to fix the flicker problem from LEDs.
Hmm.
You
Can
really
it be
need.
Fixed?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Actually, most LED products don't flicker.
Well, John Davenport said flicker is a choice, right?
He did, yes. Yep.
The problem is most people can't see flicker, and therefore they're not aware that it's an issue for other people, and they're not aware of what to look for, what to be concerned about in their specifications, and what gets on the final job site. So if I can sort of do the work for them, because I do know what flicker is, and I can see it, and I can help in the development of flicker metrics, then ultimately my work can get into the hands of specifiers and manufacturers and driver manufacturers and dimmer manufacturers and help them produce products that aren't going to be a problem.
Do you think some of those manufacturers now are just getting lucky if their product is not flicker, or are they actually looking at it?
Well, I think some are lucky and some are oblivious and some work really hard at it. There are a couple of manufacturers that I won't name right now, the driver manufacturers who are seriously committed to getting rid of the flicker. And they're starting to publish those flicker metrics on their documents.
Mm.
And honest to gosh, the specifiers are going to them and they have to learn how to read those metrics. Because I'm going to trust that manufacturer that has that commitment so much more than a manufacturer that doesn't have the guts to publish their flicker numbers.
So are most LED chips by nature flicker-free? And then it's just the driver?
All chips are flicker-free.
Okay. All chips are flicker-free.
It's not the chip that flickers.
Yep.
I mean, ultimately, that's what you see. But it's the driver.
Okay.
The chip is a fast-responding device. So when there's current delivered to it, it delivers light. And when there's no current, it's off. And it's immediate. So if you have a driver that is designed to deliver continuous current to that chip, you won't have any flicker. Mm. Or designed to deliver current to the chip that only varies a very slight amount or varies with a very high frequency, then you'll never see the flicker. But if you don't pay attention to the driver, or if you're using AC LEDs, for example, without extra components on the circuit board.
These are like the vintage style bulbs that look like vintage.
Actually, quite a few of those vintage style bulbs do flicker. Yes.
They do. Yeah, I think they're the worst, actually.
Not all of them, but fortunately, not all of them. I think that's an issue that's being raised with more of those manufacturers. So you do see some that don't flicker. But the point is, if you're a designer who cares about how you're driving your LEDs, you won't end up with flicker. But you do need to be cautious to make sure that even if the driver doesn't produce flicker from the LEDs at full output, then it, when it's paired
dimming's
with a dimmer...
Dimming's always the issue, isn't it?
Well, it can introduce flicker to a system that doesn't flicker at full output.
You know, Dr. Wilkins had said that flicker-free lighting is a human right.
Boy, well, daylight doesn't flicker.
Yeah. He was saying that people have the right to, because of the introduction of T8s and high hertz ballast, 25,000 plus hertz ballast.
Right. High frequency.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that would have been in T5 or T8 would have been your general area lighting for the vast majority of applications that people were working in. They didn't have flicker. And now we've reintroduced a dragon that we slayed.
Yes.
Has been brought back to life in the LED world. And I don't think people knew about it. I mean, we were smashing in LED tubes 5 years ago, and then they were flickering like crazy.
Well, that's kind of one of my questions is what percent of the LEDs in the marketplace do you think have a flickering issue right now?
Well, again, remember it's the driver that's really the culprit, but I think it's a higher percentage in residential lighting.
Yep.
Because it's generally lower cost. There are certain products that tend to flicker. Linear lighting, tape lighting, that stuff all tends to flicker. What else? Well, those vintage bulbs have a higher propensity to flicker. Some under cabinet lighting tends to flicker. Sometimes step lights and wall lights tend to flicker. But when you talk about troffers, generally troffers don't flicker. Generally street lights don't flicker. And I think part of it is that you've got a big area source and you can afford the area to put in the electronics and the components that you need to mitigate the flicker.
Sure.
But when you get down to things like MR16 replacement lamps, you're really pushing a lot of electronics into a tiny little space.
Sure.
And it's really going to save you room in that lamp if you don't have to put in a capacitor, for example. So I see a lot of MR16s that flicker.
How about LED tubes?
Not all.
What's that? LED tubes that bypass the ballast, for example.
No, the first LED tubes that I saw didn't have flicker problems, but I'm seeing more of them now.
As they're being made now, they're coming
yes.
out?
More flicker. Yes, more. And I don't know whether the philosophy has changed, whether it's more of a commodity product now, or somebody's trying to get 5 cents out of the cost of the tube. But I am seeing more, and I'm getting more complaints.
Do you think it's worse than the T12 magnetic ballast in terms of flicker, the new LED tubes?
For sure it is. Some of them are.
Some, okay.
Yeah, I know for sure. I think it is worse. But just from, I know, I remember flicker from T12s.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the LEDs that I look at, some of them are worse for sure. For sure.
And you pick it up when your eyes are moving or when there's any relative movement between the light source and your eyes. And sometimes I pick it up because I'm sitting underneath a flickering light and I don't necessarily notice that it's flickering until I start gesturing with my hands and suddenly I'm seeing the stroboscopic effect from my hand
when
moving through
thing
space.
With your hand in the presentation yesterday, that was really creepy looking, actually.
That's how you pick up flicker, when you pick up that stroboscopic effect from your hand.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe not everybody carries around a flicker meter.
Yeah.
So if we're out in the field and we want to determine if something's flickering, is there some tricks we can do?
Yeah, you've got a built-in portable flicker meter called your finger, and you wave it in front of the light source or underneath the light source. Make sure you isolate the light source so you don't have daylight that's kind of diluting it. And you wave your finger as fast as you possibly can. And if you see multiple fingers, that's the stroboscopic effect that you're picking up.
Okay.
In this room, fortunately, I'm not picking up any flicker at all.
We requested a flicker-free room.
we shall have a flicker-free room.
But there are other tricks that you can pull. There are also flicker wheels.
Fidget spinners.
Fidget spinners would do it. Absolutely.
I've seen slow motion on camera, on your cell phone.
That's right. Slow motion. If you suspect flicker, you can go to the video portion of your camera and select slow motion, film it for say 5 or 10 seconds in slow-mo, and then play it back on your phone. And if there is flicker, you may see bars or you may see stripes on the image. That's an indication that there's likely flicker. It's not foolproof. It depends on the frequency of the flicker. But it's a really good indicator.
Is it safe to say that flicker does not affect everyone?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
In fact, probably most people are not affected by flicker, except that it may slow them down in reading books or reading on the screen or task performance. We know that because your eye goes through specific saccades when you read, your eye basically jumps, and you don't read every word at on a sentence, you actually cut your eye jumps to say the fourth or fifth word, and you're reading all of the words around that. And then you jump to the next place and you're reading the words around that. Well, we think that flicker may actually cause your eye to jump further than it should. So as a result, your reading comprehension drops because you're probably missing every fourth or fifth word or not fully understanding it. So comprehension tends to
Dr. Wilson, I watched a video of his, I believe it was a video of his, where he was putting filters over top of books.
Yes.
So the kids were filtering the light to orange or different, like giving it like a sunglasses effect over the light.
Yes.
And the kids were exhibiting much higher rates of comprehension over the work with these various filters. I can't remember what it was for, whether it was for children that suffered from something or I can't
remember. There are lots of learning disabilities and visual disabilities where that overlay trick, it sounds nutty, but it works.
Yeah, it does work, you say.
In fact, my nephew had learning disabilities. He was dyslexic, and his mother took him to one of those therapy sessions where they tried different overlays. It made a fantastic difference in his ability to read.
Wow.
Suddenly, words and numbers didn't swim as much for him. So, yeah, I'm a complete believer. It sounds crazy, but it works.
So the fact that not everybody is affected, or most people probably aren't affected, why should we be concerned about Flickr?
Well, do we care about people who are left-handed?
Yes, we do. I'm not, but yes.
That's about 10% of the population.
Yeah.
So if we care about that 10%, we should probably care about the 10% who are susceptible to Flickr. Mm-hmm. We do know that the frequency of headaches and migraines varies throughout your life, but generally somewhere between 10 and 25% of the population suffers from headaches and migraines at some point in their life. Mm. And those are seriously debilitating. We lose a lot of productivity time because people are hurting so badly they can't work. Well, we know that Flickr can be one of the triggers for headaches and probably migraines as well. So if we can eliminate Flickr, doesn't that ultimately result in perhaps less absenteeism, higher rates of productivity among school children and office workers and even industrial workers? Mm. That's why we need to care about Flickr.
And I think the fact that it can be easily done, why not do it?
Yes.
Is that right? I mean,
there was another interesting study done by Jennifer Veach and Christoph Martinsons last fall. They were looking at commercial lamps that were available on the market, and they were trying to test flicker visibility under lamps that had varying levels of flicker as measured by the stroboscopic visibility measure, or SVM. But they scoured the shelves to find lamps, both in France and in Canada.
Okay.
To find lamps of these varying flicker performances, and they found zero relationship between cost and levels of flicker.
Yeah, I've read that too. I don't know if it was, did Dr. Veach came on our show as well?
Oh, good.
Yeah, and she was talking, I think she mentioned that as well, that it you know, it wasn't a cost, someone did anyway, maybe it was John Davenport that did too. Uh-huh. But we, you know, we've been interested in this issue for a while. What I'm wondering is, you know, you had said that, well, 10% of the population is affected by Flickr, but that's acute symptoms, right?
Yes. If you count, yes, headaches,
what you're saying
migraines,
is they will immediately,
reactions,
or something will acute will happen.
Right.
Should they be exposed to flickering lights and striped rooms or whatever it is.
Right. Yep.
But maybe there's a chronic underlying low level effect on everybody.
Like irritation.
Who knows?
Like, I'm going to get really mad at you because I'm uncomfortable sitting under these lights.
Oh, maybe it's a contributing factor. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have
no. I don't see any reason why that couldn't be a good point.
I don't think it's studied, that's all. I mean, for example,
distraction.
Yes, distractions, computer screen, tiredness.
Yep.
You know, combine the problem with these type of, this is the whole, and I don't want to open this up with the Flickr queen, but this is the problem with the whole health effects of lighting thing. Arnold Wilkins was able to separate out his results with two different buildings by having, you know, a, you know, studying a group, control group, and then one that had, non-flickering lighting, and then he switched it and whatever. But it's hard to parse out the various impacts of so many different technologies that we live with now.
Mm, yes, I agree. And you may have interactions between the different technologies.
Yeah, like cell phone screen at night, watching Netflix in your bed, and then along with 5,000K light in your office that flickers, and there's this accumulative effect of all these new technologies that we really don't know how they affect the naked ape.
Or what the downstream effects might be.
Yeah.
That's right. It's interesting you should mention cell phones, because there was a certain brand of phones that I observed friends and relatives having a few years ago, like 5 years, 6, 7 years ago, mm-hmm. and they flickered. And I thought, how in the world can you stand it? Fortunately, my brand of phone didn't flicker. And just to prove that point, I recently wanted to measure phone flicker. So I went around my office and I said, do you have a such and such kind of phone? Yeah, let me measure it. The flicker was far diminished, which says to me, even the phone manufacturers are figuring out how to change their electronics so that their phone no longer flickers. It's not, at least it's not visible to me. It's not visible to my flicker meter. So I wonder if, without saying so, even the manufacturer of phones have figured out that flicker could be an irritation for some people.
Well, I'll tell you this, what's interesting about like that kind of an angle, right? So casinos have known for a long time that if you shine 5,000K light really brightly into someone's eyes, they'll give you their paycheck, okay? So casinos have known for a long time how to mess with your circadian rhythm.
Oh,
keep them awake.
Right?
I see.
You understand what I'm saying? Yep. Uh-huh. They know that if they shine 5,000K light right in your eyes in front of it,
they know that it'll
discombobulate you, mess you up, and make you make all sorts of decisions you wouldn't normally make. Mm-hmm. Right? So, and I find sometimes some of the scientists strike me as a little bit naive when they approach these problems, because you can see that those that have maybe other reasons for understanding this have been able to capitalize on what they know is true. So casinos know that shining 5,000K light right into your eyes messes with up with your circadian rhythm, because that's what they want to do, right? And they've known this for 30 years.
Although they may not have associated it with circadian rhythms. They may mm-hmm. have just said, oh, you know, we put somebody in front of these flashing lights with a one-armed bandit, and people give us their money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it works. I don't know what works about it, but let's do it again and again and again.
And do more of it and more of it.
And more of it. And wow, we get even more people sucked in if we put in brighter lights and more flashing.
Yeah, and no clocks and no windows and fresh oxygen.
Yeah.
And then the naked ape gives you his paycheck. That's what happens. No, seriously, they've known this for decades and decades. And, you know, scientists rolling into this and they're like, oh, wow, look at, you know, 5,000K at night disrupts the circadian rhythm. You know, some Las Vegas bandit is sitting there going, yeah, I could have told you that 30 years ago. But I find this a little bit naive in the lighting business or something. What is it going on here? Why are we rushing so fast headlong in here without knowing really the effects of this part, the new products we're creating?
I think it takes a long time for people to recognize that there may be a problem. And especially with flicker, 90% of the population doesn't ever see it. Mm. So as a consequence, why would they think there's a problem? Mm. That's why I think flicker is so sinister.
It is sinister. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. It can kind of cause problems without your even knowing it. That's not to say that it always does, because honestly, I think the effects with flicker are probably limited to a relatively small percentage of the population, but it's a percentage of the population we don't want to ignore. And it's health effects, it's task performance effects. We know the task performance effects are probably more widespread than the people who get headaches, for example. So there are negative things about flicker. There's no reason not to get rid of them at this point, except that it does mean that some manufacturers are going to have to redesign their drivers.
We had a little bit of a meme that we came up with, I don't know, a couple dozen episodes ago or whatever, it was in discussion about human-centric lighting and the health effects of lighting. Mm-hmm. Both Greg and I thought, gosh, wouldn't it be great if first we did no harm?
Yes, but you don't always know what the harm is. So how would you know that an unseen phenomenon like flicker might potentially cause you harm? I think we grow in knowledge. We recognize, oh, there is flicker there. Even if you can't see it, I can see it. And that flicker, you know, it's bugging some people. It's causing problems in certain populations. Maybe we should look at the larger population and see if it's bothering them too without their even knowing it. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's somebody being mean or oblivious. I think it's more somebody being oblivious to potential harm than it is to intentionally doing harm.
I think it also. I think it also has to do with a lot of people entering the lighting business that were never in the lighting business before. LED.
Well, you know, the first 10 years of the LED time period, it was almost as though we forgot everything we had learned about lighting quality.
For sure.
Glare and flicker and color, and you know, everybody just said, look at my lumens per watt, and look, I've got 20 horribly glaring LEDs in here, let's sell it. And now people are starting to realize, oh yeah, remember what we learned 20 years ago? We need to teach the new people in the business about these quality issues so that they don't repeat the same problems.
Naomi Miller, thank you for coming on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast.
It's been a delight. Thank you for the invitation.
Keystone Technologies. Go to KEYSTONETECH.com, baby. KeystoneTech.com. Light made easy. The retrofit kings. We're talking future fit here, YouTube watchers.
Sometimes you want to improve the aesthetics of a space. And first of all, try to spell that because I do it a lot. And I have to spell check myself a lot.
Every time.
But when you want to enhance the aesthetics, the look, the feel of the space, their retrofit can do that for you without the expense of a new fixture. It's that indirect center basket style look, volumetric, whatever name people are using nowadays for it. And it upgrades the fixture, makes it LED, flicker free, and it gives you a good look for energy savings that you get out of LED with a great life as well.
Get rid of those nasty K12 acrylic lenses. They're broken. They're yellow. They're gone. Get them out. Put a future fit kit in there, baby. Go to KeystoneTech.com. That's KEYSTONETECH.com, baby. And then, of course, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. That association's going to grow, Greg. It's going to grow.
It's got a bright future.
Bright future. I think they should bring back the old tagline where lighting means business. I loved that tagline. I thought that was the best tagline for Nailed. Because
it did work, yeah.
All of us are practitioners in Nailed. That's a good word. Practitioners. Uh-huh. That's a good word. All the Nailed members are practitioners. They're selling light bulbs every day, but they know a lot about lighting. They know a lot about lighting. You can take LS1, take LS2 to get on your way to learning about this lighting business. If you'd like to get a grip on lighting podcast, hey, man, get yourself educated. Go to naild.org, baby. And, of course, Naomi Miller, what a queen. Your majesty, your royal majesty, the queen of flicker. She was awesome, Greggy.
Yeah, you know what? The lighting world is turning into like the WWE or UFC where we're all going to have nicknames. No more of that. We're going to be the queen of flicker. I don't know what we're going to be yet, but we'll have to name ourselves someday.
We're the raconteurs of the lighting business, buddy.
The raconteurs.
We're the raconteurs of the lighting business. Aptly named by one Jim Benya. So thank you, Jim, for that. But yeah, you know what? It's interesting how deep an issue flicker actually is, dude. It's a huge issue for this business. And it's one of those things that we need to shed more light upon. And that's what we're doing on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. So I hope you enjoyed it, folks. We're always very grateful to our listeners, our sponsors, our guests, everyone that supports this show. It's been a wild ride the last 2.5 years since we created this thing. So thank you for listening. All the best.
Written on the rectory wall, there's a sign there for all. You are lost, Lord is there to find. find you.